host of Recapstone Show for our coverage of Cobra Kai Season 5. I'm Marissa, aka Sensei Garza, here to teach you the way of the pod. And you know, the Valley is counting on us to lead the way, so I had to bring in a secret weapon. The man who knows that if you want to catch a serpent, you have to think like a serpent. The one and only Sensei Reed. Jason, how are you?
They told me that I was podcasting with a Marissa, so I'm just going to, like, blindly just... since I know your name is Marissa, just blindly assume that you are the one I am podcasting with, since your name is also Marissa.
Yes.
I'm just going to go with that assumption.
That is me. Yes.
I'm doing great. Happy that we have a new season of Cobra Kai to digest, to jump into. We were talking before the pod about how excited we are to get this first episode over with so we can jump into the rest of it. But so far, so good, I would say.
Coming out of the first episode, it was good to see Johnny back. It was good to see Danieling, but also Amanda getting what she needed. It was all, we didn't see everybody, which was, kind of interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot of setup. We did get, we talked on the what we hope season 5 pod, about Chosen and Amanda getting some screen time together, and we got that really quickly in a really interesting way, so that was fun. Yeah, so a lot of this is a big adults only episode, to kick off this season. We got barely any of the of the backup kids. I would say we got main Robbie, we got little Sam. But as far as our kind of secondary kid characters, we really were lacking in that area this episode, which was interesting.
Yeah, I think Demetri had one line. That was it.
Yeah.
So, definitely a lot of setup. But before we jump into it, like any good training program, we cannot forget to do our housekeeping or chores, right? We have to sweep. We have to wax some cars. We have to do something like that.
We have to sweep. Just you don't sweep the leg.
We don't sweep the leg. No, we just sweep dirt in a back and forth or circular motion. Today we are recapping season 5 episode 1 without having watched the rest of the season. As Jason mentioned earlier, we are very eager to do so, but for this one, this is a spoiler for episode 1 but not for the whole season type of deal. We'll be back in your feeds on Monday with our binge cast covering all of season 5, and then join you twice a week for episode by episode spoiler filled podcasts to make sure that we cover all of our bases and leave no tablet unbroken. We're going to talk about all of the things from all of the different angles after we go through our binge cast, and then we'll end our coverage mid-October with our own All Valley feedback show. Bring in the blue mats. It's coming. So that will be our coverage for you. We'll be with you for a month and a half with all of your Cobra Kai needs. If you don't want to miss any of the action, we suggest subscribing to our dedicated Cobra Kai feed. You can find that by searching Cobra Kai post-show recaps anywhere you listen to podcasts. Much like Cobra Kai and the show, we are everywhere. So all you have to do is search for those words and you'll find us wherever you are, we are. And although
we're expanding our operations all over the podcast valley.
Watch out. Throughout the season, we'd also like to hear from you. So you can email us at CobraKai@postshowrecaps.com. Reach out to Jason and I via Twitter, which you'll hear our Twitter handles at the end of the show, or through the Post Show Recaps Discord, which you can join by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Did I do all right, Jason? Did I wax on? Did I wax off? Did we cover all of the things? Any dirt left unturned?
I think you painted the fence. You waxed on and waxed off. You swept what needed to be swept.
All right.
I think we were good there.
All right. Well, with your approval, let's jump right on in to the recap. So we pretty much pick up right where we left off. This is characteristic of the show. It's definitely built for the long binge. I tried to watch all of Cobra Kai before the season. I failed. But it is definitely built for a season after season.
That's quite a task. That would have been quite a task to get all of it done by today.
On Tuesday after Labor Day. After Labor Day, I was like, I think I can do this. I was wrong. But let's talk about where we find everyone at the start of this season. So the episode starts off with a Cobra Kai commercial. And Terry Silver's like, karate comes from a rich past. And there's all these like karate moves, but they have also put on like video game stats around all of the moves. They're in a state-of-the-art facility. They've got treadmills. They've got protein powder. They are saying, you know, Tori is the first all-female champion, first female all-valley champion, and she's in Cobra Kai, so let's exploit that fact. And then also, it's a new era for Cobra Kai. So what did you think of the Terry Silver takeover?
Yeah, I think it makes sense for Terry Silver to come at it in this way, kind of updating the Cobra Kai like system to be more state-of-the-art, to be more like technology-based. It seems like there's a lot of like stats, there's a lot of percentages, yeah. A lot of like, we'll really like hone in on you, and then kind of splice it in with seeming like a gym sort of thing with the, you know, smoothie juice bar added into it. I think that was fun. So yeah, it just seems like a kind of a thing that Terry Silver would do to kind of, I mean, Terry's kind of from the tech world, I think we're supposed to believe. So, you know, it makes sense that he would do this. It modernizes Cobra Kai for what Terry wants to do with it.
Yes, that's the important part right there, I think. Underline that, what Terry wants to do with it. I don't know if it's what everybody wants out of it, but he definitely has money and is willing to throw money at things, and he has thrown his money at the commercial. My only big gripe with this commercial is, besides the exploitation of Tori, who we also do not see in this episode, so like she has no way to really like answer herself. We just see her in the commercial.
Yeah, we don't even know if she's on board with Cobra Kai still. Like, we don't see her anywhere near the Cobra Kai facilities. We don't see her passing out flyers or whatever. So that's going to be interesting. It's interesting to see later.
We do hear Robbie at one point mention, I could be home, you know, hanging out with Tori. So we know they're, like, a thing, I guess. I don't know.
God, Dad, I could be with my girlfriend
Dad? Seriously?
Instead of being on this awful road trip with you. God.
But my biggest gripe with the commercial was the font. Terry Silver, if you have all of this money, you could pick a better font than this like bubbly Cobra Kai weirdness at the end. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say about that. If you're into fonts, I'm sure you get this. I did not
definite
like it.
Definite downgrade yeah, right? from the logo that we're used to. I was like, right? this is some like new age, like it's a translucent cobra. Like, this doesn't work for me. Like, give me back the yellow cobra and I'll be happy.
Even just like the spray paint that Johnny did at the very beginning, I think was better.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's going to hire a designer. We don't know, but Cobra Kai is leveling up. Meanwhile, over at the LaRusso's, Chosen was going for a swim, okay? He just was swimming in the pool, just swimming around, and Amanda comes around the corner, and she's picking up towels, as one does in the morning, I guess, and she finds out that Chosen swims in the nude. He's a nudist, apparently. But Danny says he's not a nudist. He's just a man with a routine, okay? Like, don't judge the man.
You brought me out here, like, and you want me to change up my routine for your benefit? Like, you're the one that dragged me here from, like, you know, from overseas. So what do you expect? I'm not going to change up my style. If I like to do, you know, swim nude in a hot spring, I'll just swim nude in this pool. I'll make do. But don't judge me because I'm doing what I usually do.
It's a difference between a hot spring and a chlorinated pool. That's all I have to say. Even though water is water and it's going to go everywhere regardless of what you're wearing or not wearing. However, I don't know. There's just something. There's something different in my mind between the two.
I mean, you're swimming in chemicals. That's the difference.
Yes.
But I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I would say it's an upgrade for me.
Like, well, because the chemicals like are there to like kill things out.
Exactly. Seems like Chosen was enjoying it.
Yes, he was. He was enjoying it. Amanda was not. She was like, listen, it's summer, Daniel. I thought we'd be having Mai Tais by the pool. Instead, we have this man living with us. It's just like swimming around. And Daniel's like, listen, he's not going to be here forever, but I have an obligation. I cannot leave the kids of the valley to be brainwashed by Cobra Kai. It's like taking this like way too much.
Here comes Daniel with his savior complex. Yes. Okay, Like, save it, sir. Like, you cannot say, you cannot quote unquote save all the children of the valley. Like, what does he think is going to happen if Terry goes along with this Cobra Kai? Is this going to be like this children committing crimes with karate all over the valley? It's going to be a lawless state. It's going to be a post-apocalyptic, portion of California where karate rules all, and these just menacing kids are going to be running around beating everyone up. I mean, listen. In the world of Cobra Kai, that actually might happen. So maybe Daniel is doing everyone a service in his neighborhood.
I mean, I don't know. He just takes on, like, and I think we talked a little bit about this last season too, is like just the amount of responsibility that Daniel puts on his shoulders and for what and for why. And, you know, I think that can speak to trauma in his past of like having to, you know, provide for his mom and like thinking he had to provide for his mom. He might not have had to provide for his mom, and like, but he's got like these titles that he still brings up in car dealerships from time to time, and the like LaRusso name, and he just thinks he has to like save everything. And I'm hoping that we'll see throughout the rest of the season that maybe he lets go of that a little bit. I hope.
Listen, meanwhile, Amanda's like, F them kids. Those ain't my kids. I don't care about any other kids than my kids. A lot of this is over. We had your little karate tournament. Why won't you just drop it, man? Yeah. Like, I thought after teaming up with Terry to get him to bribe that judge that I could get you to give up all this karate. What if we just found out Amanda was in on the scheme to have Daniel lose his dojo? And it was just like, I thought we'd be done with it if I helped Terry make like, you lose.
Listen, I just want that Mai Tai at the end of the day, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do.
Amanda's had up to here with she all has, this nonsense.
She's done. She's like, whatever. I don't want any of this. And Tina's like, don't worry. Don't worry, honey. I will not put our kids in danger. And she's like, yeah, okay. Like,
sure. Because you've done such a great job in the past 2 years of protecting all these kids.
Yeah.
If anything, Daniel's involvement in these kids' lives has only gotten made things worse than made things better. So I don't, like Amanda, I don't trust Daniel to make this any better.
And I think it's interesting to look at the motivations between like Daniel and Johnny in that way, because Daniel has gotten involved in like interfered in people's lives for like this greater good, but not necessarily made a greater good. But Johnny has been like individually motivated, and so it's just it'll be interesting to see if they swap motivations throughout the season, or what is the show trying to tell us about all of this in the end.
So it's kind of like the old thing about like superheroes. Like, we wouldn't have these stupid super villains if there weren't these stupid superheroes around. Like, if the superheroes weren't around, I doubt we'd have all these supervillains running around. The supervillains are created based on, you know, the superheroes. So if Daniel had never interfered in the first place, the worst that would have happened would be Johnny would be trying to have this thriving small business teaching kids karate. They may turn into little punks, but they're not going to turn into assassins like Terry Silver is trying to teach them. This is all Daniel's fault in the first place.
It's so, like, what happens when you escalate a situation and you don't de-escalate the situation.
Right. Daniel, just back off. Like, you're only making things worse.
Yes. Well, speaking of Johnny, let's take a little bus or car ride over to Mexico. Miguel is the first person we see in Mexico. He gets off the bus in Cuenta, Mexico, and he is looking for his dad. And he is falling for every tourist scam ever played on every American that's ever traveled abroad ever before. Yeah. He runs into a group of Australians because he doesn't have phone service, because he didn't know to, you know, expand his coverage or get, you know, back in those days, the minutes or minutos, as we'll find out from Johnny later, to get coverage down there. So he has no coverage, can't find his dad. So he asks this group of guys, one is Australian and understands English, is like, hey, do you know where this address is? And he's like, yeah, I got this map. X marks the spot. I'll give you the map if you give me some money. And then it turns out, while that whole thing was happening, could you believe it, Jason? They stole his bag.
What? Those scoundrels. What? I cannot believe that there are people looking to take advantage of dumb Americans in Mexico.
Dumb American teenagers too. Like, he's like, how many little, you know, point at me arrows does he need to get the attention of people?
Saw him coming from a mile away.
Yeah. And the guys want some money because they want a reward for finding the backpack. So it was like many scams rolled into one. Meanwhile, Johnny and Robbie are, you know, cruising through town, through Mexico. Robbie has no idea why. He has no idea why he's here.
So why, Robbie, I have to ask you, like, why did you just get into this van with your dad? What did you think was going to happen? Like, did y'all think you're going to, like, a resort? Like, you were just taking a random drive to Mexico? Robbie, I kind of blame you for this because you just got into the van without asking any other questions. Drove like 500 some miles without asking questions.
He's capable of asking questions, as he asks some pretty good questions throughout the rest of the episode. So I think you have a good point here, Jason. What were you doing, Robbie?
Were you surprised that we didn't get more of the trip on the way to Mexico? Because I was kind of surprised that we started in Mexico. I was like, damn, like, they just traveled by Matt, basically. We didn't see any of the actual trip.
Oh, yeah. Coming off of our wrap-up pod where we thought this was going to be an 8-episode or a 5-episode arc, I was a little taken aback by how quickly we are already in Mexico from the start of the storyline. And it seems like, you know, some of the stuff we saw in the trailer has already come out in this episode. So I don't know how long we're going to be in Mexico together, because we've already got FBI shirts happening. Because Johnny picks up some stuff at the store, which includes Mexican Cokes, which are not the same as regular Cokes. Even though Robbie's like, I think they're just Coke. No. It's different. They use real sugar. They do not use corn syrup. So real Mexican Coke, but not that kind of Coke. Coke like the drink. You get it. And then there's Mexican
what if
candy.
Johnny just brought out some cocaine, like, here you go, Robbie, this will make you a real man.
The number of times you say Mexican Coke before thinking it's the other Coke is a lot. Then he picked up some chicharrones, or as he called them, chicharrones. He's got some sunglasses with his little price tag hanging off, and he put the sombrero ornament, but it can't be offensive because he bought it in Mexico. It was their idea. So,
ooh, yeah. I mean, he's also got the cell phone with the 300 minutos, which apparently is five times more than a regular minute. I like the math he did there.
I think that he's applying like the monetary exchange to the minutes exchange. Like everything must be
yeah, everything's
multiplied
different.
By five. Yeah. Classic Johnny stuff. What do you think of his choices? Do you think he picked good ones?
Yeah, I mean, hey, snacks, communication. What are they going to do with it? I mean, I guess they don't have cell phone service either, presumably. So I guess they need the cell phone.
Well, he's got the flip phone. So he actually, I think, has more options than Miguel when it comes to communication. Because he's still got the flip phone. You just flip out the SIM card and call it a day.
And so, I mean, yeah, good choices here. He's got some souvenirs to bring back with him. So, yeah, all good. That aren't offensive because he brought them in Mexico. Can't be offensive if you buy it in the place. Boom.
Because that's how it works. Yes. And then we're going to stay in Mexico for a little bit. Let's just, you know, finish out the Mexico happenings. So Miguel is looking for his dad. His dad's name is Hector. Now, this is really interesting for me, Marissa, the podcaster, because my father's real name is Hector. And growing up, I thought there were like Hector was a name that nobody else had. And turns out everybody has the name Hector, specifically in this town.
But Marissa, how old were you when you thought that?
When I was like 7.
Right. Like Miguel is like 16, right? Like Miguel shouldn't be thinking that way. Like, I was so like, wait a minute, what is this? A real thing? Like, he heard the name. There's probably like 8,000 Hector Salazars in his general vicinity, like,
which is great because later in Johnny's plan, he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna look him up in the phone book. I don't know if you've ever looked at a phone book, but especially for the name Hector or a last name like Garza. When I was in Texas, there were 5 pages of Garzas. So in Mexico, I would only assume there'd be a lot more.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask around. Look at the Mexican phone book.
Yeah, just look in the Mexican phone book. That's how it works. So Miguel does follow the map because he, you know, was robbed of all of his money except for the singles. So he was able to go find the X marks the spots, which ends up being a bar. And in the back of the bar, there's this big really man with a hat and they're playing poker, and you can kind of tell like, hey, this is a bad dude. And Miguel's like, hey, my name's Miguel, do you know me?
Dad,
he's like, no,
it's me.
I don't know you.
He walked in expecting to be like, dad, it's me, Miguel.
Like this Hallmark TV moment he wanted to have happen.
Like, no. Yeah, your son Miguel, like me. Hug?
He's like,
Hug? No.
Like, hugs. Yeah, but don't you know my mom? You know, my mom? And he's like, no, I've never met anyone like that
your
before.
Effing mom. Like, he was really like, I was like, oh, the language. I mean, I guess because it was, maybe because in another language, it was okay. Because I don't recall Cobra Kai really dropping a lot of F-bombs.
Agreed.
Previously. I was like, okay, I guess because it's another language, it's okay. But that he was dropping a lot of F-bombs there.
Yeah, like one right after another kind of situation. And he basically says, like, Bad Hector says, yo, I don't know you. And if you don't leave, my friends are going to beat you up, basically. And so,
I mean, at this point, did you think that this was his dad or we got the wrong person?
I was like, oh, that's interesting. I guess that kills the Mexico storyline. I guess he's just going back home.
Oh, yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, I was like, I guess. I wasn't necessarily expecting Nice Hector to show up, but I'm glad that he did. What about you? How do you think this was going to turn out?
I thought it was a possibility that this was actually his dad, and he was, like, you know, saying that he wasn't in order to, like, avoid maybe some back child support.
Like, he'd do,
support.
Like, a nice guy thing.
Yeah, like, end. Yeah, this isn't the, yeah, I thought the Bad Hector was like, yeah, I'm not your dad. Like, but he really was. I thought that because we were expecting Miguel to walk into Mexico and find a bad guy, because we have been told
that's true
that his dad was a bad guy. So I was like, okay, maybe he did really find the right Hector or whatever, because he had an address.
Yeah,
and this was supposedly the address. So I was like, okay, maybe this is really Hector. But apparently, it is not.
Different Hector.
Yeah,
close. But not really. Miguel's standing outside of, you know, standing outside of the bar. He ends up calling Sam at one point, which we'll talk about in a little bit later. But he sees Nice Hector. He finds Nice Hector and basically stalks this man throughout the entire town. I don't know. Did you think this was creepy? He was just like following him wherever he went. He goes to a festival. He's going to go buy food for his family. He meets his family. All this stuff. And there's Miguel like in the background, like watching, patiently waiting to make his move.
He's stalking Hector. He's trying to get information from a little boy who apparently is Hector's son. I was like, Miguel, you're acting kind of sus right now. You know, you're okay walking up to the other Hector. I'll just walk up to this guy and be like, I'm your son. Hey, it's me. I mean, I don't know that you're the right Hector, but I'm just going to go up to every Hector and say, hey, I'm your son, and hope that I find the right one eventually.
I'm Miguel. Of Carmen of Ecuador.
Carmen, Rosa, Ecuador. Any of this ringing a bell? No. All right, I will move on to the next Hector.
Yeah, we do find out Hector has a family. He has a wife and a son, and the son has a soccer ball and is just like kicking it all over. At one point, Miguel does, you know, pick up the ball and then creepily asks this kid what his name was. Like you
What's
were saying,
name,
I thought this was
boy?
Like, yeah, it was not good. It's like Miguel, use your brain.
Does your father ever talk about a woman that left him with another little boy? That's me. I'm your brother.
This kid takes a soccer ball, kicks it into the street, and goes after it. And so this is where Miguel comes in and saves the day, saves his half brother or whomever, and you know, reunites the kid with the family. And This just is amazing to new Hector, to happy Hector. He's very happy. He's like, hey, why don't you, you've done me a good service. Why don't you come over for dinner? Which is a very Mexican thing. You're going to eat with people. That's how it's going to happen. Like you do something, you're going to get fed. But yeah, he's very adamant on having dinner together.
I was like, I mean, you're really trusting of this stranger that just saved your, I mean, he saved your son, true, but you still don't know who this person is. Right? Why are you inviting him into your home? I mean, do you think Miguel had the thought like, maybe I just let him run into the street and I'll just be the only son?
Oh, no, I don't think, that's a little too dark, even for Miguel. I think Miguel wasn't using his brain that much as evidenced by his previous choices of interaction that he would not have thought that dark. But I do think it is sus that he's like, Nice Hector is like, listen, we're strangers now, but we're family tonight. And I'm just like, this is like messing with so much of Miguel's psyche, because one, what if he's a bad guy? Two, like the attachment, like Miguel is there with like this open heart, these open arms, and is like, yes, I will have dinner with you, Dad. Well,
you can't blame New Hector for that. New Hector, Nice Hector doesn't know. I mean, he does. No, like,
I'm not blaming. I'm worried. I'm worried for Miguel. That's all
he
I'm
does
saying.
Say. He does say, like, I feel like, you know, I know you from somewhere. Like,
yeah.
For some reason, my loins are like, pulsating when I get around you. I feel like we're family or something. Maybe you're my son. I don't know. It feels like I know you from somewhere, but now we're family.
Yeah, it was like 0 to 60 with them pretty quick. So it'll be interesting to see how dinner actually went. And so that's basically like Miguel's to do.
But what do we think is the real deal with Hector?
I think he is nice Hector now, but I think he was bad Hector. Like, I think he was the Johnny Lawrence of Mexico.
The Johnny Lawrence of Mexico. Do you think he's going to, like, he's just this nice thing that's a facade, and we'll find out he's, like, some kingpin in Mexico?
I don't think he's, like, currently right now a bad guy. I think he was in the past a bad guy. Like, I think we'll get a, like, Miguelito, sit with me. Let me tell you the story of my past and how I have righted my wrongs.
And so he's been rehabilitated. Like,
yeah, I think we'll get one of those. I don't think we'll see bad Hector again, but I do think, like, maybe there's something that nice Hector is, like, orbiting that's not great. Like, he's still, like, tied to that world in some way, but not necessarily, like, in the center of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I was thinking about this season, and I'm glad that they are not, falling into the obviousness that I was thinking, but I was like, Miguel's going to go there. He's going to, you know, be taken advantage of by his dad. Johnny's going to have to come in and save Miguel, and then Miguel's going to go back with them. But I would like to wonder if Hector is really nice Hector, how they're going to convince Miguel to come back with them.
Exactly. That was my whole Miguel stays in Mexico bit. Like,
yeah, but I mean, the trailers spoiled that. I mean, but yeah, I just, it makes you wonder how they're going to convince him to come back with them if Hector really is a nice Hector, like we seem to be led to believe at the moment.
Yes, everything we've seen so far. Yeah, it should be interesting, especially because I think Miguel and Johnny still aren't on the right foot. So I do expect some sort of, you know, like, yeah, well, my real dad is cooler than you, my surrogate weird apartment sensei man.
You called me Robbie that one time.
That one time. They brought that up in the recap. Did you see that?
Yeah, like, I saw that.
I was like, oh, that's going to be a thing.
You called me Robbie when you were drunk. I'm still mad at that.
Yeah. So that's where we kind of leave Miguel. Meanwhile, in Mexico, Johnny and Robbie are having father and son time in the making. They went to the store. They picked up all their stuff. Robbie is, like, mad about being there. He's like, listen, why am I here? I don't understand why you're doing this. Do you even have a plan to do this? And this is where Johnny's like, yeah, okay, so I'm just going to, like, ask around. And then if I don't find anything, I'm going to look in the Mexican phone book. And that's how it's going to be.
Bada bing, bada boom. Simple.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Robbie's like, listen, I could be home with Tori right now. This coming with you was a mistake. And Johnny's like, oh. But he also is really, I did get through season one of Cobra Kai prior to the season. And I will say the growth between season one Johnny and season five Johnny is super duper apparent. Like, this man in this moment in season five is like, listen, I totally get that you're upset. Like, I understand. It wasn't right of me to do this. It's the only way I know how to deal with things. But this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make it right. Old Johnny would have been like, not used his words.
Like, well, I mean, old Johnny wouldn't even brought Robbie, because old Johnny didn't even pretend that Robbie existed. So yeah, this is definitely a whole new Johnny from season one. So yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnny apologizes like several times during this episode, which, you know, like you said, old Johnny never would have done. He's apologizing for dragging Robbie here without telling him. I mean, I think even Robbie throughout the rest of this episode is going to see that Johnny is a different person than the old Johnny that Robbie knew as probably like a little kid.
Yeah, because he even says to Robbie, look, once we get to the to the bus station. I'll give you money. You can take a bus. You can go home. Like, if this is not a thing that you want to do, I'm not, you know, this is father-son bonding time, but only if you want it to be after I've dragged you across the border.
Yeah. And I mean, he does like present the option to Robbie, like, hey, this would be good for all involved. You and me, you and Miguel can begin to, you know, prepare your rift. Cause I know you have regrets when it comes to Miguel, like, you know, kicking him off of a staircase and, you know, breaking his back, things like that. But yeah, I mean, I like how he pitched it to Robbie, like, you know, this could be good for us, could be good for you and Miguel, you could help me out. So yeah, Johnny's definitely has the ulterior motive, but it's a good ulterior motive here.
Yeah, and he's so swept up in this. He's like, watch, he's talking to Robbie, like, listen, you can go home when we get to the bus station, not paying attention. A car swerves on the road. They end up swerving off the road, and they have to change the tire. And this is where Robbie does start asking his good questions. He's like, hey, how'd you get this car? And this is where Johnny has to tell Robbie, we got it when I was looking for you. Remember when you ran away and you disappeared and then I looked for you because I was your dad and I remembered that I cared about you when I did this thing. And LaRusso was with me and we beat up the people who stole this car and that's how we got it. And this like gets Robbie to take back a little bit. He's like, oh.
Yeah, this is Yeah, this is an interesting callback to, you know, previous seasons and kind of like some detailed information that really kind of starts to sway Robbie towards like towards Johnny, which was a good a really good way to use the past storylines to make Robbie realize that my dad's cared about me, you know, for a minute now. Maybe I should soften up a little towards him.
Yeah. And Johnny says, I know I haven't been there for you, Robbie, more times than I can count, but I've also failed Miguel. I'm out here trying to fix my mistakes so I can live without any regrets. And he says to Robbie too, like, I know, like you were saying, I know, you know, you have some regrets with Miguel too, so why don't we just like try to fix it? And go ahead,
he's like, let's kill like multiple birds with one stone. This one trip can heal like a bunch of rifts. Let's get it all together, get it all over
with. Like, so surprising coming, like, again, from season one Johnny that I had just seen. Like, season one Johnny was like, I need to hang a TV on the wall, and not, like, he hung the TV on the wrong wall than the lady asked him to. Like, he couldn't even think in terms of, you know, simple steps and simple things to do. And this is, like, a very comprehensive, complex, I mean, granted, I'll just ask around and look in the phone book, not that great, but, like, from a healing aspect, there's many layers to what he's trying to do.
Well,
here.
Listen, Johnny's not a very strategic guy. I don't know if he can ever really get to a level of different thinking in that sense. But I think from season one to season five, we have seen the growth through the seasons. I don't think this comes out of nowhere. Yeah. I think this has been earned. I think that it's not a rapid progression. We've seen him try to find redemption with kind of with Daniel, now with Robbie. So I think he's making that journey. I think it's he's in a good spot with it.
I'm the biggest Johnny cheerleader. I will cheer him on for all of the things. While he's fixing the flat tire, he does call Carmen to say, like, hey, everything's okay. Carmen has mentioned that she heard from Sam, who heard from Miguel, which we'll talk about in a minute. But he just, you know, assures Carmen everything's going to be okay. And this, again, gets Robbie to, like, see Johnny in a different, like I put in my notes, Robbie thinks, because it was like a frame in the show where he like looks off to the side. It's very like After School Special thinking pose,
like, is my dad not an asshole anymore? Like,
yeah, like, whoa,
when did this happen? He's caring about other people, he's caring about this woman and her son. Like, geez, maybe my dad has changed. Like, it's so funny how shows like give you these moments where it's like, thoughtful look over.
Yeah, it's like insert GIF here. Like, they could have, like,
yeah, my like, attitude is GIF. Changing. My thoughts on this topic have changed now. Like, it says it all with a look.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the direction in this scene. Like, okay, I don't know what. I think the kid's name is Tanner that plays Robbie. He's like, okay,
oh,
Tanner,
yeah,
I'm gonna need you to look over at Johnny. I forgot Johnny's real name. I'm gonna need you to look over
William,
at Johnny.
William Zabka.
Yeah, Zabka. I'm gonna need you to look over in William's direction. I need a look that says, my opinion about this man is changing. Maybe I'll give him a shot. Can you give me a look like that? And they maybe had to go through several different looks and several different cuts. And then when they got the one, they're like, yep, that's it. That's the one. That's the look. That has a look
Give us
right
that
there.
cutting room floor footage. What else did he look at?
I need deleted scenes of all the different looks he gave. Like, nope, that's not it. That's more like contemplative. I need you an opinion change look. Oh, that's it. That's the one we'll use.
Compile them into one GIF that can be used for like every emotion.
Yeah.
Like thinking, crying, happy, sad. Like,
all the acting emotions.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he does a good job. He was thinking.
Yeah. I bought the look for sure.
Right? Yeah. It worked. They fix up the car. They head out to the bus station. They finally arrive. Johnny gives Robbie money for the bus like he said he would. He's like, hey, listen, if you don't want to join, I totally get it. But I'm going to start looking for Miguel. And he runs into, who do you think he runs into? The same guys. And they pull the same thing. Like, hey, I could show you where to go with an, you know, here's an X on the map. X marks the spot. Anyone who says X marks the spot in real 2022 life and is not dressed like a pirate, little sus.
Never trust them. Earlier in the episode, when Miguel didn't just straight up fight these guys for his backpack back, I was like, why did he just straight up fight these losers? Why did he give them their money? I was like, oh, we're saving it for Johnny and Robbie to kick their asses later. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what happens. Johnny's onto it. He's like, no, you're not going to do that. Like, flips him on the ground, takes his wallet back. And then the guys are like, listen, we could do this two ways. We could do this the nice way, or we could do this the hard way. And they're like, Johnny, of course, is going to like, let's do this the hard way. I'm going to beat you. I'm just going to beat you up. And he starts fighting.
I do like Johnny says, I'm going to stick that surfboard so far up your ass. Your friends are going to be able to ride you on the waves. All the comedy from this episode came straight from Johnny. Like, there was
sure
like
did.
The Daniel Chosen side of it was like kind of a
super serious,
yeah, very serious, like extremely serious, maybe even too serious for the show. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But all the comedy from this episode came from Johnny, and it was really fun and fantastic. Really a showcase for what makes Cobra Kai from the start really great, which is a lot of William Zabka's line deliveries and the dialogue here.
So
a good showcase for William Zabka here.
Yeah. And he starts fighting, and out of nowhere, this reminded me of a little show called The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because Robbie like comes out of nowhere and like kicks the guy in the head.
Pee-yaw!
Like, I was like, what is happening?
Like, they were putty patrollers, like they had to kick the Z in the middle to defeat their enemies. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very like that. But the music in the scene, fantastic. I loved it. It was super fun. They end up taking care of business, beating everybody up. At the end of the fight, Johnny says, adios, dickheads.
I would like to know how the Australian got to Mexico. Like, what's his story?
Yeah. I mean, and also, how many times have you pulled that scam? And does it make good money? It must make good money if he's still doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like he got like
he's
at least
got a whole crew. Like, maybe there's a whole enterprise.
It seems like he got at least $100 from Miguel. Like, they posted up like near where the bus lets off. So it's probably like a good way to get some tourists out of their money.
Well, yeah. And they weren't the only ones. There were some vendors there that were trying to sell things. Mm-hmm. And Miguel was like, no, I'm not into it. Well, at the end of the fight, Johnny and Robbie are sitting on the car, nursing their wounds by putting the Mexican Cokes on them, which I, to my brain, was like, did you have a cooler? Are these cold? Did you buy new ones? Anyway.
Yeah. Like, these are warm now. Thank you very much. You're not going to fool us.
I was like, is this doing anything? I don't know what's happening. But anyway, they're nursing their wounds with the Cokes. Robbie tells Johnny, you know, you technically kidnapped and transported a minor over the border. Not great, but I think Robbie's going to forgive him because he decides to stay and make things right.
Listen, Robbie, we've met your mother. I don't think she really cares. She's not going to report this.
This is true.
She's not worried about where you are.
Not much like last season where we did not condone breaking and entering, no B&E. We also say no human trafficking.
Yes. Like, don't transport minors over the border unless you're going to go save another minor who ran away from you.
And are also that person's parent, question mark, maybe, depending on the situation.
Surrogate parent.
Yeah.
Surrogate parent / karate sensei. It's a very specific situation where you can do this.
Yeah, exactly. That about wraps up the Mexico side of things. Anything from your angle, Jason, that we missed or that you wanted to really point out?
No, I mean Mexico was fun. I felt like it was the better of the two storylines that we got in this episode. You know, much kind of a different change of pace for Cobra Kai. We finally got out of the valley, which was fun.
Did you notice that karate did exist outside of the valley? We did get that question answered because they did karate in Mexico.
Yes, so karate does exist outside of the world of the valley. So, I mean,
Yes.
who knows where else we could go with this? Where else does karate exist in this fictional world? But yeah, I enjoy the Mexico storyline. It was a little, I had a little fun at Miguel's expense because he seemed so like naive, like
Oh,
when he got there.
yeah. And what was with his hair? Like, he's like all like,
His hair
I
changed.
don't
The
know.
humidity hit his hair on the
Yes.
bus, and it changed from when he went on the bus last season to this season when he gets off the bus. The humidity really messed with his hair. And it wasn't just a year in real time difference of filming.
Yeah, we definitely had some growth from Miguel on his
Both
head.
spiritually and physically on his head.
Yes. I enjoyed this. I'm interested to see how they get out of it. And we do know from trailers that those FBI shirts will become part of the story at some point. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens and if Nice Hector is really nice. So we'll find out soon. But for now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and go to the valley.
10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right. How was your bus ride from Mexico, Jason? Did you make it okay? Did you make it back? We're back in the
Yeah, I
valley.
got about like 2 more inches of hair on my head now. So things a
Good.
lot of
It's the magical
a
bus.
lot of things have changed from the time we were talking about Mexico to now.
Podcast time travel does exist. So over in the valley, we start off, you know, with Chosen in the pool. Daniel then keeps true to his word and says, you know, I have to shut down Miyagi-Do. So he pulls everybody together at Miyagi-Do. Like, this is, in my opinion, the epitome of a meeting that could have been an email because he literally just brings everybody here and is like, hey, I have to shut down Miyagi-Do. I have to keep you safe. But don't worry, Miyagi-Do, it lives in you.
God, Daniel, you are so corny, bro. Like, don't worry, it lives on in all of you, in all of your hearts. I want to make sure you keep a target off of your backs. Like, oh.
Yeah. But don't worry, only I can fix it because I am Daniel and that is my job. No one here is happy about this. Like, all the kids are like, man, this one kid gives like Daniel like the biggest stink eye. And Dimitri says, I guess I'm gonna have to get a job.
Yeah, we had a lot of the red shirts that we never know any of their names in the background, you know, obviously unhappy with this decision, but no one cares because we don't even know y'all's names. I mean,
Like,
if
whatever.
we have this group scene, like we have Hawk does not say a word in this episode. Why do we have Hawk here if he's not going to say anything?
I mean, get your money. But also, yeah, he didn't say anything. Dimitri was just like, ugh, I guess I have to get another job.
Yeah, this is really a waste of like a scene. Like you said, it could have been an email.
Yeah.
The scene could have been an
It
email.
could have. It could have been an email. Like, he could have made a fancy little video and just said, like, hey, everybody, you know, this is what I have to
He could
do.
have sent
But
like a
anyway.
paragraph long text to everyone because that's what Daniel would do in
Was
his whole
that,
speech.
or use the fancy technology of the Snapchat? He could have made a Snapchat and sent it to the kids or whatever the kids are using these days.
Well, I mean, the
You
problem
know,
is he
one of
doesn't have any
those.
tablets left because he broke them all over his knee.
He broke them all. Yeah. And he'd have to ask for Anthony's help, and we haven't really heard from
Thank
him lately.
goodness. Sick of that kid.
have a feeling he might show up next week,
Ah, damn it.
but or that's okay. Sam is like blaming herself because she's like, we wouldn't have to do this if I didn't
I mean, listen,
lose.
she is.
And Daniel's like, no, it's my fault. It's not your
It's a blame
fault.
off. She is
Yes.
Daniel's daughter, so she has to take on the savior complex of Daniel and blame
Yes.
herself for all the troubles of everyone in the world.
Yeah. She's like, it's my fault. And Daniel says, this isn't about the tournament. This is about real life. Terry Silver is a bad man.
I still don't understand what Daniel thinks. I would like an explanation from Daniel. Like, what is the worst you think is going to happen here? Like, what do you think? What?
It's about real life, Jason. Real life.
Real life, Sam. Real this isn't a life. Joke. This is about karate and real life. Get a grip.
Real life. Go. Yeah. Go. Very like, okay, have your little temper tantrum yourself there, Daniel.
Terry is going to teach these kids bad karate. This is a disaster of epic proportions.
The valley will never be the same. Daniel takes some time to show Chosen who Terry Silver is by showing him the tape from the Last All Valley. And he's like, this is who everybody thinks this guy is. He thinks he's so great. And Chosen's like, okay.
I like that he's just now showing Chosen this. Like, it seems like Chosen's been here for a couple of days, and Daniel still hasn't told him why he's here. Like no, you made this speech at Miyagi's grave, and then you refuse to tell me anything more until this very moment where you show me who Terry Silver is.
Make yourself comfortable. Like, go for a swim, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Just relax for a couple of days,
because we got a lot of work to do. I don't want to, you know, make you stress. So have a couple days, swim naked in my pool, flash my wife, do whatever you gotta
people
do.
People do, I guess.
And then we'll talk about why you're here. Like, no. Doesn't Chosen have anything better to do? Like, does Chosen have a job?
I mean, does he? I don't know. He says to, Daniel says to Chosen, we have to cut the head off the snake. And Chosen's like, I could do that. I'm ready to go. He pulls out, like, Sai, and he's like, I'm ready to go. Daniel's like, not like that.
All right, Raphael. Like,
for blocking.
All right, Raphael, damn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're for blocking and stabbing and prodding.
And gouging and clawing. Okay.
Yeah. And, so Chosen's ready to go. Meanwhile, Sam is having a little bit of what I'm calling, without any clinical knowledge, All Valley PTSD of sorts. Like, if she's rewatching this match over and over and like doing all of the moves over and over, and I think this is a little intense. I mean, I know, as you mentioned, she is Daniel LaRusso's daughter. However, it's a little much. Do we think she's gonna figure this out? Do you think she's gonna figure out that Tori did not officially win?
I thought that's where we were going. Like, she was like examining the game tape and be like, wait a minute, that's an illegal move. Why didn't they call that out? Why did she win that on that move? But no, she's just really just trying to relive this and torture herself by redoing the fight over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know. Another thought I had during the scene is, like, will she and Tori be the new Daniel and Johnny of the Valley? Like, is generational trauma just going to be passed on to them? And then we're going to have, like, this ongoing feud.
Time jump in season 6. 30 years later.
It's going to have to be. I told you the kids are adults now. We have to time jump at some point. I don't know how they're going to keep it going.
30 years later, Tori and Sam need to hash out their differences.
Johnny and Daniel are at the retirement home. They don't care anymore. They're like, whatever, they're playing shuffleboard with each other. They're best friends. Anyway, during this reenactment of the All Valley, Sam gets a phone call from Miguel. And Miguel, it's like, I made it to Mexico. And Sam's like, Miguel, this is dangerous. Your mom and your grandma left for a reason. I can't believe you're here. And what about my time at the All Valley? Like, you know how hard that was for me. And Miguel's like, listen, how are you making this about
Everything's not about you, Sam.
What is happening here?
God, Miguel, you didn't even ask about my tournament. Like, oh my gosh, you're so selfish. Okay, first of all, why did Miguel call Sam? I didn't really get that. Like, he at one point,
I think it was like, I'm okay. Like, I have service. I'm okay.
Well,
I made
he said,
it
that's
here.
Why I'm calling you. I need your help. Like, what did you want Sam to wire you some money? Like, can you Western Union me about like $100? I just got my cash stolen from some Australian guy.
That's probably it. Yeah. I mean, like, good call. She has the money.
I know your dad's loaded. Can you just like wire me some money?
Yeah.
But, you know, I did like Miguel giving her kind of a reality check. Like, I'm trying to find my biological dad out here, and you're complaining about karate. Like, is karate all you think about? Like, you have been brainwashed by your father about this karate nonsense.
And that, but then he says a line, which I wonder, is this a turning point for the entire show, Jason? There are more important things than karate.
Are we going to transition away?
What does that mean?
Transition away from karate at some point?
I don't know. I don't think we can, but I just was like, what does this mean? So they're not seeing eye to eye, but this is how the information gets to Carmen, which gets to Johnny, that Miguel's okay. There's the telephone tree is working. There's circular motion of information. Everybody's telling everybody that Miguel's okay.
I like that saying, hey, Carmen's number. Real cool.
Right?
So I have questions about Carmen, though. As we see Carmen explaining to Johnny that, you know, Sam called her. Do we think Carmen's like the real bad person in this thing? Like, you know, I have my conspiracy. I have my conspiracy theories. Like, maybe Carmen's the real bad guy here. Maybe Miguel's dad was never bad, and she ran off with Miguel. And
that could be why she wants her mom, Miguel's grandma, to like not bring up anything about dad all the time.
I think we've cracked it.
What if she secretly knows karate? Do you think?
Carmen is the big bad after Terry Silver. Carmen is Terry Silver's boss. We have cracked it. We don't even need to watch the rest. We don't need to watch the rest of the season. We know what's going to happen. This is the last podcast, y'all. We just spoiled the whole season for you. Sorry, but we just figured it out here live on the podcast.
If you have binged this and are listening to this,
you know we're right. You don't even need to tell us.
Just bask in our glory.
You know we're glory. Right.
I mean, that's pretty good.
We don't need the accolades. You don't need to tell us on Twitter that we're right. We already know we're right, so you don't need to tell us.
No, I'm just saying, like, take it in. Enjoy this. Well, someone who's not enjoying things is Daniel. He takes Chosen on a stakeout at Cobra Kai to, like, watch this sign-up day. Stalking is big in this episode between both Daniel and Miguel. There's lots of things happening.
A lot of stakeouts. A lot of stalking.
Yeah.
A lot of watching people through windows and outdoors.
Daniel is worried about the kids, though, Jason.
What about the children? He's
worried about the kids.
What about the children, Chosen? What about the children?
And we see Kenny passing out flyers. Like, that's his, again, we don't get really anything from him, but he's like their poster child out there doing whatever. But Chosen sees through the window that Silver is like sparring with someone. He recognizes this technique from Kim Sun-un. And I loved what happened next, because Daniel's like, that's like a real person. And they flash back to Karate Kid 3 where Terry Silver walks in and he's like, my sensei is Kim Sun-un.
Oh, shit.
I just thought that was something that Terry made up.
That was totally fake. I didn't even know that was a real thing. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. What? I did like Chosen like recognizes this style from just a momentary sparring session from Terry, as Terry is like maniacally laughing while he's taking down with seemingly children.
What if that's the technique? The laughter is part of the technique.
Maybe. I mean, it shows like, oh my god, I recognize that karate. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I thought you had to like really study something. Yeah. Be like, oh yeah, that's like this different kind of style. Like, no, Terry, from what I saw, was like a basic throw, a basic like thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a style. Okay, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chosen was trained by his uncle, and his uncle didn't like this guy. So this is why Chosen is like the encyclopedia of karate and can just know all of the types all of the time. And he explains that like Mr. Miyagi wouldn't know this because he left before, you know, this was like he left after World War II. This was during the Korean War, which would make sense because this is when Terry Silver and John Kreese were over there, it was during the Vietnam War. So you get some, you know, global war history.
Yeah, we gotta make sure the timeline matches up, because obviously if Miyagi knew about this guy, he would have told Daniel, because Miyagi told Daniel every single thing.
Like, downloaded his brain. Kim Sun-un apparently was the master of a style of toon pseudo, but his style was very controversial. Like, it was like he put his own spin. He took toon pseudo to Flavortown. Like, there's some spice. There's some things happening. Like, there's some fancy things. But Chosen makes it clear that direct attacks will be recognized. And Daniel's like, that's not my game. I don't attack. And this is where Chosen says, to catch a serpent, you must think like a serpent.
I didn't want to attack him. I want to expose him. Like, okay, Daniel.
Which is weird because Chosen started with an exposure in this episode. Anyway. It was inappropriate. Then this episode comes to an end with a classic Terry Silver voiceover where he's talking to who we find out will be new sensei recruits. And he says, with competition shutting down, the valley now looks to us to lead the way. Which way, Terry? What way are we going? Why do we need you? I don't understand, but we'll go with it. Now we are strangers, but this is something, the start of something special. More students means more senseis. And we see a little shot of Miguel having dinner with his new family. And Amanda finally gets her Mai Tai at the pool with Daniel. So those two people are happy, and he continues on to say, we're gonna have to do more than what's expected, which means you'll get paid more than what's expected, but first you have to prove yourself in the way of the fist. And we see who's in that line.
It's Chosen. I did not
expect this. Whoa. Didn't expect it at all. We talked about a mole in Cobra Kai. We trusted a kid to be the mole. Okay, we were like, one of these kids is gonna be the mole. Like, that's gotta be it. But no, it's freaking Chosen.
Which is interesting to me because we started off this podcast talking about how this was an adults only episode. But it also seems like, at least on one side of the story, the adults are acting like children. And it'll be interesting to see if we have children acting like adults on one side of the kids' stories as we go along on this journey together. I'm assuming if we see it, it'll come out of Tori and Robbie.
Yeah, someone's got to talk to Sensei to Daniel. Yeah. Chosen, like, what? They made sure not to tell us what Daniel's plan is, but I would like to know what Daniel's plan is for all this.
Well,
going to have Chosen wear a camera on his gi to like expose the crazy training techniques that Terry puts these people through? Is that what's going to happen?
If Chosen has a memory that can remember every single type of karate, I don't think we need camera. We just have his photographic memory.
Well, I mean, you can't rely on someone's photographic memory. It's not photographic memory is like when they're getting kicked in the head. We need some hard evidence.
Well, that's true. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Like, is Daniel gonna show this footage to like the parents of the children? Like, you see what he has your kids doing?
Probably,
and all the parents gonna be like, oh my gosh, I gotta get my child out of this bad guy karate.
Or take it to the All Valley Conference, like, board meeting where they decide about the mats and if there's going to be an All Valley Championship, and be like, we have to expel Cobra Kai again. Like, maybe that's it, but he wants to stop the spreading of Cobra Kai being built in general. So maybe he'll have to go back to that landlord dude, again, from season one, because I just watched it, but that Armand guy who was, like, trying to buy all the real estate in the Valley and try to, like, tell him not to sell to Terry Silver.
So, I mean, since this is so early on in the season where we had this plot, I mean, Terry's going to, like, sniff this out, right? Like, this isn't going to last too long, I would imagine.
Do you think it'll last longer than Mexico?
Oh, Mexico. So, what's our new updated timeline of where we think Mexico? How long is Mexico going to last?
It's got to be three.
Okay, I think three is a sweet spot. I think by the end of three, we get, Miguel, Robbie, and Johnny coming back to the Valley, because we know from the trailers that Johnny becomes involved in the taking down of Terry.
Yeah, because he like teams up with Chosen at some point.
Daniel saying in like near the beginning where he's talking to Sam, he's like, with Johnny gone, it falls to me to take down Terry. Like, oh, I didn't know like you were like counting on Johnny to help to like take down Terry Silver, who he barely knows of. Like, Terry is your bad guy, Daniel. This is your responsibility.
Yeah. Daniel, maybe we will see the return of Daniel's daughter in real life, who plays the therapist, cousin, what's her face?
Cousin come Vanessa,
back
in, was it?
To help.
Yeah,
I think so. Come back in to help Danny kind of like unpack.
Yeah, bro, relax.
He feels towards
relax,
the
bro. It's just karate. He's not teaching these people how to, he's not teaching children how to murder, I don't think.
Well,
who knows?
Not yet.
But like, bro, relax. It's karate dojos. It's not a big. Can you imagine anyone else in the valley looking in on the situation and being like, "What are you doing, sir? You are like 40 something years old." Like,
this is what
the rest of us here are living our lives, and you are just like, you act like this karate stuff is the end of the world. Like, in the grander scheme, of things, this is not that big of a deal, Daniel. Danny's like, no, this is the most important thing in anyone's life. You don't want Terry running around here teaching our children bad karate, do you? They're like, I don't really care. Like, that's the thing. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, it's interesting because I think it speaks to, like, I'm going to get a little big picture outside of the show. But, like, there's a lot of conversation about, like, keeping things, holding on to nostalgia the way things used to be, things like that. And I think Danny, as much as he thinks he is being progressive, might be, like, and I know he's Gen X because I know his age, but he is acting very boomer-esque. In these conversations, and so someone needs, Johnny is like quintessential Gen X, but Daniel's leaning a little boomer, so we need to bring him down a little
Daniel's
bit.
Daniel's putting the big tarp on the Miyagi-Do sign. He's just making a big show out of, you know, shutting down the dojo. I gotta put the tarp over the sign that tells everyone that we're out of business.
Again, it could have been an email or a text or some sort of electronic communication.
Hey guys, the dojo's closed because I made a stupid bet.
Don't come
I made
in.
A dumb bet.
Don't
yeah,
come in
I made
tomorrow.
A dumb bet with Terry Silver that for some reason I feel like I have to honor, even though there's really no consequence if I don't.
Yeah, there's like no legal binding.
It's not a contract.
All,
I could just go back on my word.
Honor.
Like, I had to teach you kids that your word really means something. I don't know.
I do think that there is something like to the integrity. I think there is something to integrity, but I think it's fun how the show kind of plays with it from time to time by making it that ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're having fun at Daniel's expense and Cobra Kai as a show's
as I think we were supposed to.
We're fun at Daniel and the seriousness of Cobra Kai, but I mean, that, like you said, that's what we're here for. It's fun. Yeah.
Well, we didn't see any kids this episode, so using my crystal ball, I'm going to assume that the next episode and future us will tell us if the next episode is kid-centric or not. But I'd like to see
Crease,
some things.
No Crease either in this episode. So.
Yeah. What's going on in jail? Do you think he's getting like good food? Do you think he's running things? Do you think he's working out or reading? What side
I think
jail?
I think Crease walks right into prison. And pulls the old beat up the biggest guy here to show them I am the new alpha. I think that's what he pulls first.
Yeah, but I'm also hoping for some Crease redemption a la Johnny. I don't think it's going to happen right away.
I think Crease's redemption is going to come in the form of helping in whatever way he can, helping Daniel and Johnny and Chosen and Amanda take down Silver in whatever way he can, whether that be with information or just some help with strategy. I'm not do you think Crease gets out of jail by season's end, or is Crease going to serve out his sentence? We talked about him getting broken out.
How does he help from in there? How does in there? Like they go visit him and then they call him. Oh, we did have that whole entire time with Robbie was in jail for like a long time.
Yeah, for a
remember?
While. I talked about in the
It was like most of the season.
Yeah, I talked about in the season ending podcast last time where like Daniel's going to come up against a roadblock and he's gonna be like, I need some vital information on Terry. Who would know this information about Terry? Oh, I know. I'll go visit Crease in jail. So I think that's where that comes in.
Yes. Yeah. He might get out like last episode. Any other predictions that you want to make before we see the rest of the season to see if we're right?
No, Not right
now. Anything else? Now that we have a little bit more info.
I think we were able to predict some things, and some things came as a surprise. So I think that's good that the show isn't being predictable. So we'll see what else we have in store, you know, for the rest of the season. I'm excited to dive into the rest of the season.
Yes, it should be good. All right. Well, I think that does it for season 5, episode 1 of Cobra Kai. We will see you back here Monday. Don't forget to do all of the sweeping, all of the glass cleaning, all of the painting of the fence before we come back together on Monday for our binge cast, for where we will be recapping the entire season. Until then, Jason, what else you got going on? You got lots of stuff happening.
I'm in a busy season right now of podcasting. You can find me over on the Rob Hess Podcast Network. I'm talking about the show Married at First Sight on my podcast called A Perfect Match. I co-host that with Asia Welch. You can check me out there every week. I'm also at the moment recapping She-Hulk for this here network post-show recaps. And I do that with Sasha Joseph. So you're gonna see that for the entirety of the She-Hulk season. We're on episode 4 this week. Really fun episode, so check us out there as well. You can find me on Twitter at jayr1085. Marissa, how about you? You're always pretty busy around here. What you got going on?
Well, yeah, so I think I'm wrapping up a busy season of podcasting. So I just wrapped up A League of Their Own, which I covered with Grace Leader and Sarah Ferguson. I have to say that show, I miss that show. I definitely would check it out if you haven't already, and check out the corresponding podcast. There's lots of good character development, lots of good stories, lots of good history, lots of good representation. It's just a good time all around. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. We as a collective humanity are trying to get it renewed for season 2. So if you haven't watched it, please do check it out. You can catch those podcasts here on Post Show Recaps. And I did also podcast about The Bear with LaTanya Starks. If you haven't checked that one out yet, it's a quick 8 episodes. You can check out the podcast as well. But other than that, anything I'm up to, you can find me on Twitter at MarsBars, MarzBars. And I will let you know what's happening there or in the Post Show Recaps Discord, which you can join by going to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Get access to the Discord at any level. And I will tell you, people are talking about all of the things from the latest news of the day, which was a big day the other day, all the way to what we're watching, what we're eating, what we're making, all of these things. So feel free to join us if you are looking for a good group of peeps. Otherwise, if we've got nothing else, Cobra bye.